My name is Bipul, and today I'll be talking about micro frontends. The title might be a bit misleading because it says in React, whereas it's general and can be applied to other libraries or frameworks. The main focus of my talk is around Webpack's plugin called Module Federation, which allows this paradigm of micro frontends to be possible. So yeah, what are micro frontends? Frontends for ants or something like that? No. So, oh yeah, before I dive into micro frontends, something about me. I work as a UI developer for IBM, work on the OpenShift Data Foundation product. So we use this extensively in our product, and that's how I got to learn about this feature, and it's not something that is written or created by me. It's more of a open source project created by some guy named Scripted Alchemy. I don't know his real name, but that is his GitHub user ID. All right, so if you missed the description of my talk in the Fostim website, I'll be basically talking about creating, going away from monoliths to this micro frontend paradigm, where basically traditionally what we would do is we would have this huge repository and we would have all the code for, let's say if it's a 10-page web application, then you'd have all the code for all the 10 pages in the same repository. But to make things easier, to decouple all these teams which are working on these various different pages, there is this paradigm where you can divide these various pages into different repositories. So you would create different builds of these different pages and integrate them in runtime. So you're not be stopped or you're stuck to the same release cycle as for the other teams who are working on the various other pages. So to explain it with a simpler analogy, I would use something like building a house or building a hotel. So there is one team which would build, I guess, the core of the house. And then there's a team which would install the electrical wirings, and there's other team which will do the interior decoration. So in the end, all these efforts are combined and you get a hotel in the end. Similarly, you have a team which creates, say, the homepage, the other team creates the calendar component, some other creates other component libraries that are used in your project, and you can all seamlessly integrate them in the runtime. So that would help you avoid reusing the code and basically all the benefits that you would get by following the dry principles and the solid principles. So more about module federation, it came in Webpack 5. It came as part of Webpack 5. And yeah, so the main concept around it is of having different modules, the remote modules and the local modules. So let's say you have your host application, application A, which ships with the homepage. Now it has its local modules related to the React. Let's take React as an example. So it would have your React components related to the homepage. Now say you click on the About Us page, then what it would do is it would fetch modules from a remote location, a different web server where you are deploying the bundles related to About Us page. And those are known as remote modules, and you'd basically pull it into the runtime, integrate over there, which would be handled by Webpack, obviously, and you would get your module federation. So yeah, the problem that this helps solve is that monoliths are growing bigger and bigger. Like once it goes bigger, the build time increases. There is a lot of dependence across the multiple teams that are working on the same repository. In the end, it makes things harder. Like if we go back to the olden times before microservices was there, you would have a bunch of teams working together and everything being deployed at the same place. That caused its own issues. Now, since the front ends are getting larger, it is bringing its own set of problems. So basically, this is what Module Federation aims to solve that issue. So like I explained previously as well, let's say you have an application homepage and About Us, then using this method, you could split the repositories, split the projects, build them separately, and combine them at the runtime. Okay, so let's take an example of how a single build application would work. So first, you'd send a GET request from the browser, and then it would return by the index. It would return you the index file. From there, the script tag would ask to load for the a main bundle. And then if there are other buttons or anything that you use over there, those would also get pulled from there. I have missed some of the responses from the server. Sorry about that. But with multi-build application, it would be something different. So you'd have your web server A, which would be the host application server, where you would have your index file, the main bundle, and some of the chunks that are coming from the main bundle. And you'd have your second web server where you host your remote bundles. So this is a setup where you have one host and one remote application. So the first, it would ping the host application, it would get the index file, pull the module that is related to, that is served from there. And then it sees that it requires something like a button component in the home chunk. Then it would basically ping to web server B and get that. So how it figures out that it needs to ping web server B and where actually the button bundle is something that I'll go after this slide during the code demo. So yeah, pretty much if you look into the requests that go is similarly, it hits the your main application server, then it gets the main bundle. And then if you see here, there's something different. It hits localhost 3002 instead of 3001, and it looks for this file called remoteentry.js. So let me go to the code and explain it a bit better than what I did so far. All right. This is my remote application. Let me go to my host application. All right. Is this visible? Awesome. So the most important part of this configuration is the plugin part, which is module federation plugin. So here what we're doing is we're specifying the remotes. So in the remotes, you can see that I specify remote module, and I specify that it is at localhost 3002 / remote entry. So this remote entry is a special JavaScript file. It does not have any code-related chunks over here. None of the application-specific code is present here. It's just a way for Webpack to expose the modules that you're trying to expose from your remote build. So you see that I specify remote module as presented that, so Webpack knows where to hit to connect to the remote build. And something related to React and similar libraries is that I've mentioned that React and React DOM are shared. So that means there are not multiple instances of this library being loaded into the runtime. And I also make sure that it is singleton. That means only one instance of it is present there. So that, because if you have multiple instances of libraries like these, it would not work well together. So hence you have to mention that it's singleton. And similarly, if we go to the remote bundle, you see that here what I do is I specify the file name for the remote entry. And then I expose this component named button. If you see here under source, there's this component named button, which I have exposed through there. And in my host application, I go here and I import button. And you can see here I import it from remote module / button. And Webpack knows basically this is not part of your node modules. And it has to pull it from a remote source, which it does. So let me try and run this, if we see here. And we get a warning, perfect. But we can always ignore the warning. And you can see that there's a toggle button that comes up. And I would just like to show a few things on the network tab as well. Let's see that warning one more time. All right. So the first thing that it loads is the main bundle. Then you can see that there is the remote entry that comes from the 3002. And then only after that, the button is actually getting pulled over here. So it gets the remote entry, it sees what chunks are present over there, and basically pulls the button chunk from there. And you can see that the button is working. So it's a remote module that's coming over here. Some of the links that are useful are the documentation for Module Federation, which is hosted on the Webpack site. And something that I would like to also mention is the OpenShift console project, which uses this. I think we were one of the first people to use it. So OpenShift console is a project, a user interface for enterprise distribution of Kubernetes, which is also known as OpenShift, created by Red Hat. One interesting use case that we had is we had one static application with a bunch of plugins that were all pushed into the single repository. So we had like 8 products along with the core application that was shipped together, and all our release timelines were synced because of that. And that would cause massive headaches for PMs of multiple products because it would stop the release for other product and so on. So what we did was we basically removed all the plugins from the same repository and created a different repository for them, and combined all of them in the runtime using this same plugin of Webpack. So this has helped us tremendously to, you know, have our own release cadence and send bug fixes at whatever time we want to and not be stuck with one timeline for all the products. So in the end, yes, it has helped a lot to us. So with that, that's all from my side. Any questions from? Where's the mic?
To what degree does this sandbox code and or impact security?
It does impact security because it gets access to the whole of runtime. That's why you would do this something with applications that you would trust. And if it is something of a third party, it's usually safer to sandbox things.
I wondered what happens if the server with the remote components is down, but not the whole environment. I think that could lead to very weird user experience bugs.
Yes, that would lead to a very bad user experience. So you'd make sure that the remote application is also working, but there is some other things that you could do. There are fallbacks that you can mention there for dependencies, which would not crash the whole application.
You mentioned that for now it's on Webpack. The other bundlers have something similar, or?
I am not sure about that.
No. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, probably similar to the security question, but how does this, how, if you've got a system where users have to authenticate and now you've got a web token, the potentially the different micro front ends need to have access to. How's that kind of handled?
I think we faced something similar when we were deploying our application. So basically what we did was we had our own proxy in the back end. So instead of doing the direct course request like I did, like it hit to 3002, we would put a proxy between the web application and the different backend service that we had, and the proxy would basically add all the credentials that you would require.
Yeah, I was just wondering how it impacts the performance on the server because you have several instances of the code running at once.
Sorry, I didn't get you.
I was wondering how much it impacts the performance to split the code like that.
Once the bundles are loaded into the runtime, it does not make a difference because it's as if it's the same build once it enters. So the only difference is that, yes, the chunk loading operation might add a few network calls, and it's limited to that performance penalty.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for the talk. It was very interesting. Yeah, I was just wondering, well, it's kind of like something that I kind of want to verify, I guess. This would be maybe also something that you could very well use for scenarios where we would normally like lazy load stuff, but then instead take it from another location, right? Because, like, I mean, otherwise it would affect the first paint, I would expect.
Oh, could you repeat your question? Sorry.
So, like, this would be more for scenarios where you would, like, if you load, normally when you route to pages, for example, you know, you would lazy load things. But in this case, it seems like if you load from a remote location, it's not instantaneous. It doesn't load instantaneous. So it would be better in those scenarios than it would be like for if you would load a page and you want to show a lot of stuff on first paint, because it seems a bit delayed.
Yes, that is there, because since when you call it from another location, there is a added step of loading that chunk. So yes, if you have too many components on the initial page, you'd rather have it in the original host application and not load it from remote places.
What's the difference between this technique and Angular's way of doing lazy loading?
See, lazy loading is basically you delaying the operation, delaying the loading of the chunk until it is required. Whereas here you are loading it from an entirely different place. Angular would not allow that with lazy loading. If you try to do it from a different place, it would just fail. But this is this allows you to get it from other places as well.
Yeah, I just want to correct that it exists for Angular, a specific way to lazy load from a different server. From my friend. But just my question was, you say that you were extracting some code from your repository, and you said also that you wanted to share some libraries like React. How do you manage multiple versions of React? If each team wants to upgrade to its own version of React, then you duplicate the React library many times, right?
Yes. So here, let me just show you, maybe I've not mentioned it here, but you could have a thing called expected version over here. And with that, you could tie it to a certain version only. With that, you would manage the different versions of React issue.
There's a question. Any questions?
Sure. Thank you.
Yes, the main project has to know before the definition of the remote component. Or it is completely completely independent. It could be known in runtime.
For the better developer experience, what usually we do in a production environment is that we export the types of the components that are part of the remote module, so that it helps the developer know that before time. But the components do come in runtime only.
Okay, but in compilation time of the parent of the main project, he has to know the definition of the remote, right?
If you're using TypeScript, then it would require types. But for JavaScript, it could just be a promise, right? And then it would resolve later on.
Okay.
About the dependencies. It's only about React, you can use it there, the expected, or other, for example, I don't know, Material UI?
Yes, you could share any kind of dependencies between different bundles.
And then remote module, you could use a module like from NPM, if you publish it, and you can use it there.
So remote module usually should point to another build of a Webpack should point to another build of a Webpack application that uses this particular plugin. Well, is that it? All right, thank you so much.
Thank you.